physician, scientist, searching for a way to tap into the hidden strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation interacts with his unique body chemistry. And now when Banner grows angry or outraged, a startling metamorphosis occurs.
Hulk! Smash!
Hello, and welcome back to the Nerding Out 2 podcast. We're on episode 2, and today we'll be nerding out to the Incredible Hulk. I'm Mikey, and I am back with Jade and Matt. How have we been, guys?
All good, yeah.
Yeah, good. Been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, for take 2.
Yeah.
Yes, as Matt just said, a little peek behind the curtains, this is the second time we've recorded this episode.
Probably like the 20th, actually.
Yeah, we had a few recording hiccups, shall we say. So, we've got about an hour and 10 minutes worth of material that is just gone forever. You know? So if we sound a bit,
scrapped,
tired,
yeah.
A bit tired, and a bit...
hungry.
Yeah, then that's because we're here talking about Hulk for a second time. But, since then, we've sorted out our equipment. We're sort of know what we're doing now, and I think hopefully we shouldn't have a problem like that again. Also, this is the reason why we're a little bit later than usual. We always sort of try to get the podcast out beginning of the week if we can, and obviously it's Thursday, Friday by the time you're going to be hearing it, so shouldn't happen again.
Fingers crossed. Happen.
Yeah.
Probably will happen again.
Yeah.
Something else will go wrong.
To be honest,
we figured it out, but let's see how it goes.
Yeah. Just a reminder of what we're all about. We are re-watching all the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. We started with Iron Man last week, and we will be making our way through all of the MCU movies, however many there are. 20? Something?
20, yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
18? 19? I don't know. However many. All the way up to Infinity War in April. So if you're excited for Infinity War and wanting to watch all the Marvel movies again, watch them with us. Review them with us. Rate them with us. You know, we're sort of giving them a retrospective look, sort of reviewing them based on what we know now, sort of saying what we thought about them the first time we saw these movies and what we think about them now. And, you know, how the movies that come after kind of changed our opinion on the older ones. And we'll be doing that all the way through to Infinity. So, let's go around the table, shall we? Start with you, Matt. First time you saw The Incredible Hulk, back in 2008, only a month after Iron Man come out.
Yeah.
What was your opinion on this movie, first time you saw it?
First time I saw it, I liked it. Like, obviously, going in with low expectations, given our past Hulk films from Ang Lee, which we're still trying to forget. But this helped a lot, I think. I thought it was a great Hulk movie, but it's still... not a huge fan of the Hulk, and I still think there's a lot they could have done better, but overall, I enjoyed the movie.
The first time you saw it, yeah.
First time I saw it, yeah.
Yeah. So, what would you have rated it the first time you saw it?
Probably a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah, fair enough. Pretty good. Yeah. So, I can't remember. Do you remember what you said you rated Hulk? Iron Man the first time you saw it?
I think I gave it an 8 to begin with.
Oh, okay, so you first time watching this, you preferred Iron Man.
Yeah, but it was there's a lot closer gap.
Yeah, right, okay. We're going to recurring theme here, but Jade, tell us about the first time you saw this movie.
So when we first recorded this on Monday, I'd only seen it the day before. So now it's been about a week. I won't give my rating now because we'll do that at the end, but I definitely did not enjoy it anywhere near as much as Iron Man. Just for lots of reasons which we'll go through now, but I probably, not my favourite.
First time I saw this in a cinema, again, like we say, straight after Iron Man, 9 out of 10 for me. I absolutely loved this movie the first time I saw it, mostly because of like what you touched on, Matt, about Ang Lee's Hulk being so disappointing and just not for me. And to be honest, I don't really care for the character that much. You know, I enjoy him when he turns up in the comics, but he's not like the character I can't wait to see every time. Like, oh, what's Hulk doing? You know, I'm just Hulk's Hulk, you know. And went into this movie after the hype of Iron Man, and after, like, what I said last week with Iron Man, I didn't really know what to expect with this whole MCU thing or this whole Marvel Studios thing. So then I've seen Iron Man 1 twice at this point when I've gone to see this in the cinema, and now I've got an idea of what this is about. You know, I've seen the after credit scene with Nick Fury, and I'm thinking, right, okay, we're going for Avengers. So now I'm hyped. My excitement for Incredible Hulk pretty much quadrupled just from seeing Iron Man. So I went into this movie so excited and was just willing to love it, you know? You know, sometimes you go into a movie and you're like, I'm going to love this, I'm going to absolutely love this because of how much I loved Iron Man. And yeah. I kind of came out almost, I don't want to say convincing myself that I loved it, because I genuinely did, but, you know, I was satisfied, let's say that, you know, I come out satisfied, definitely.
We've been spoiled since then, so it changes things a bit.
Exactly, yeah, I mean, what we were saying last week about the fact that we were almost, not starved for superhero movies, but, you know, all we really had was, we had the Dark Knight stuff, you know, we had Batman Begins, Dark Knight was coming, and that was pretty much where our heads were at, I think. So just to get two back-to-back Marvel movies like this is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's where it all started.
Yeah. So, right, yeah, so that's our thoughts the first time we saw this movie.
I wonder how well, or how it would have been received if this one was the first one and then it was Iron Man. I wonder how that would have gone.
I'm not sure, really. I'm glad this wasn't the first one, because obviously with Incredible Hulk being owned by Universal Studios and not actually Marvel Studios, you do have that problem where your first movie would not be a fully MCU movie, or wouldn't be a full Marvel Studios movie, you know? So, yeah. And plus, that would have been the easy option. I think opening with Hulk would, because out of the four main Avengers that they go with, Hulk's the most recognisable character before they start any of this.
Oh yeah, he's the one who's had past movies, past TV shows,
he's
been merchandised to how everyone knows who the Hulk is.
Exactly. If before the MCU started, if you sort of said to someone, oh, who's Hulk? They'd be like, oh, the big green guy, you know? And you go, okay, cool, who's Iron Man? The Iron Giant?
Yeah.
Is he that guy? You know?
Yeah.
So, it was...
Was he bit by a radioactive iron? What's going on?
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe, you know, you've kind of brought up a good point there, Jay, where it kind of is a ballsy move by not having this as your first sort of step into the MCU to, you know, open with something like Iron Man.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the right choice. And I think this was also a good idea to put this between, to put this and Iron Man 2 between Thor. I think it was a good idea because you're not throwing people into the deep end too quick with something like Thor or Captain America. It's like, right, you now know Iron Man, you already know Hulk, let's spend a bit of time with these characters, okay, now here's Thor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like putting you back in, it's like, alright, you love Robert Downey Jr., have a bit more of him. We'll start laying a few more seeds, get you so... You're not totally blown out of the water by Thor, but yeah, so you'll start ready and you're going to accept Thor when he comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, like you say, because Thor is very sort of fantasy, gods and everything, I think these three films in the beginning are very much quite believable in a way, even though obviously Ed Norton turns into a big green guy. You can still sort of see there's all scientific reasons for it. Whereas then, if you started with something like Thor, they'd be like, whoa, what?
No. Oh, God, yeah, 100%. Like,
even Captain America as well, because even though they kind of explain that with science, it's still a bit more, like, far-fetched, the whole time travel.
Even with Captain America, at the end of the day, yeah, Iron Man and Hulk, and even Captain America at some point, are explained with science.
Yeah.
Thor is just a god.
And you're just, like, expected to believe it. Like, you're not allowed to question it. You're like, oh, okay, the sky is in the sky.
But even in Thor, they try to explain it through science. Like, even then, it's like, but, like, you people call it science, we call it magic.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll save this for the Thor podcast.
We've got two movies to go yet.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting a bit ahead of ourselves here. So, but yeah, back to Hulk. Yeah. It was placed well, I think.
What's your original score?
Oh, and a 9 out of 10. Did I say that?
I can't remember. I'm not allowed to say mine, am I?
Okay, I'm sure it's original. Yeah, I thought, I don't know, maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Who knows, we've recorded two of these things.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I feel like we're repeating ourselves regardless of what we say.
But yeah, my original score coming out of this thing was a 9 out of 10.
So you had a 9, I had an 8.
You had an 8.
I had
7.5, yes. And Jade can't only just saw.
Yeah.
Right. Let's address the big elephant in the room, or the big green man in the room. Mark Ruffalo versus Ed Norton.
We're starting on that, are we?
Well, you got to, haven't you? Because if you say to most people now
who plays Hulk
yeah. / Bruce Banner, it's Mark Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo is essentially the Hulk now. Well, he is. But the movie we're watching is Ed Norton, so... You know, let's not beat around the bush, let's just go straight to it. Who do you prefer, Matt, Ed Norton or Mark Ruffalo?
Now I say Mark Ruffalo. It's very close between them, because there's different things they both do that I like. I much prefer Banner's look. I mean, Norton's look as Banner. I think he's got very sort of skinny, very sort of weak looking. You sort of believe him as Banner.
But yeah.
I think character-wise and writing-wise, Mark Ruffalo all the way.
Yeah. Jade?
So I would say I prefer Mark Ruffalo as Hulk. As Hulk and Mark and Bruce Banner. But then I also preferred the look of Ed Norton's Hulk in this. Not Ed Norton. I don't rate Ed Norton much at all as Bruce Banner. But I definitely prefer Ed Norton's Hulk.
Like the CGI model.
Yeah, it's a lot darker and a bit creepier, whereas I think more recent Hulk is very, like, bright green, like, smiley.
Yeah. It does remind me of, like, the original comics Hulk, like, when they first started introducing him. They had a very, like, dark green, they had that sort of messy hair.
Yeah, I think nowadays, with Mark Ruffalo, he definitely feels a bit more, sort of, I don't want to say cartoonish, but he's a lot lighter, isn't he, in most ways.
Yeah, personality and colour.
Yeah, a lot brighter and brandable.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. He at the end of the day, looks better on a lunchbox, doesn't he? You know,
yeah.
He looks more appealing. But you know, that's not necessarily a good thing. Like, say, Ed Norton's one looks like a complete badass. So,
yeah, and at some point, this is a big, huge, angry monster.
Not to say that Mark Ruffalo's version doesn't look like a badass. I'm not saying that. Of course, he does. But yeah, I know what you mean. There's something darker about Ed Norton's one.
But there's also a big tone difference. Like, when it comes to Avengers and all, like, the post-movies he's been in after that, he is generally a good guy. He's fighting on the good side. Whereas this, he's a lot more unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, he's kind of hard to warm to. I agree with you guys. I'm on Team Ruffalo all the way. You know, last week we talked about, you know, the War Machine issue with Don Cheadle and Terrence Howard. I got it right, didn't I?
Yeah.
between Don Cheadle versus Terrence Howard. And I said, there's always going to be a part of me that thinks, what if with Terrence Howard, you know, what would a War Machine been like, you know, how things would have changed.
Mm.
I never think that about Ed Norton's Hulk.
No.
Because, not to say that Don Cheadle hasn't nailed War Machine, but Mark Ruffalo's nailed the Hulk so well, nailed Bruce Banner so well. I don't want to see anyone else play Hulk right now.
No.
You know, and I don't care what it would have been like if Ed Norton had stayed on. Which is weird, because at the time, when it was all kicking off that Ed Norton wasn't going to do another one, I was actually annoyed, because I don't like recasting, you know?
No, you've got familiar with the actor. He's like, yeah, I've accepted this guy. He's my Hulk. I'm ready to go for it. And then they change it.
Yeah. And that's what I felt. Yeah, I didn't want them to change Ed Norton, but, you know, glad they did.
Yeah, and it's weird.
I think they wouldn't have gone.
So it's weird to think, because normally I love Ed Norton. Like, Fight Club, brilliant movie.
Yeah, I love Fight Club.
Brilliant
American
in that.
History X.
Yeah, I've got nothing against Ed Norton as an actor. I think he's a fantastic actor. In fact, I think he's a fantastic actor in this. I just don't think he fits into the MCU.
He's a bit too serious to go along with all the other characters.
Because Avengers is just really quirky, and I think it would have took a really different turn if Ed carried on as Hulk. I think they would have had to have adapted to him a little bit, because it would have just been, he would have been really out of place if he was the current Hulk now, like, hanging out with Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Hemsworth. It just wouldn't have worked to me.
Yeah, he's dead, too serious. I mean, you look at the chemistry between Mark Ruffalo and Robert Downey Jr., you know, Bruce Banner, Tony Stark. I don't think you would have got that with this Ed Norton. I might be wrong, you know. Who knows? But I just can't picture it.
No, you don't get that. The science bros, you don't get that feeling.
Yeah. But I will say that's more of a compliment to Mark Ruffalo than it is an insult to Ed Norton.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Ed Norton could have done it, but it just would have felt completely different.
Yeah. Probably forced.
So, while we're on the subject, let's sort of quickly cover the Ed Norton leaving the project and everything. I don't think anybody truly knows what really happened. Mm-hmm. Essentially, I think I'm right in saying Kevin Feige put out some sort of statement sort of saying basically he wasn't good to work with. I'm not quoting here at all. I just got the impression that he said that we didn't enjoy working with him and we're going to take a different direction. I do remember there being no, oh, thank you for your time, you know, it's been a pleasure working with you. None of that. It was just like, yeah, or we had different creative issues. None of that.
Should I read it out? I've got the quote.
Oh, Jade's got the quote. Go on, Jade.
And it doesn't say who this is, but I guess it is.
I would have thought it was Kevin Feige, I would have thought.
So it says, we have made the decision to not bring back Ed Norton to portray the title role of Bruce Banner in the Avengers. Our decision is definitely not one based on monetary factors, but instead rooted in the need for an actor who embodies the creativity and collaborative spirit of our other talented cast members.
Ed Norton, you're a prick, that sounds like.
Yeah, that sounds like he's not getting the point of this, is he? He's sort of trying to go...
Yeah, he's like trying to go a certain direction and he's going the opposite.
Yeah,
so quite controversial, really, because that's not a friendly goodbye, is it?
No,
it's not like, thank you for what you did for us in Hulk. It's like, you've gone completely the wrong way here, mate. See ya.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's definitely a sort of a weird one. But, you know, he made the right decision by swapping him out. If he wasn't right and if he wasn't willing to play ball or whatever happened, we don't know who's to blame. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't think either side's holding on to any bitterness now, really. They've both been hugely successful, so...
Yeah. So, with that in mind, you know, the Mark Ruffalo stuff aside, in general, Ed Norton's performance in this, what do you think?
I enjoyed it. He brings that seriousness. Like, if this happened to you, you'd be panicking. He sort of gets that sort of almost PTSD feel to him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Good spot.
Yeah. Like, he can't sleep. He's, like, in the shower, seeing, like, bullets flying at him.
Yeah.
And you always get this feeling like he's always nervous, twitchy. I thought it was good for a first Hulk movie.
Yeah. And he's like, he is a serious scientist, so just taking out the actors, but like just Bruce Banner in general, this is so brand new to him now. He has to adapt to it, and obviously Mark Ruffalo's character has been Hulk for many years now, whereas this guy has just become the Hulk over the last like 5 months, so... So it's just him adjusting to it, that, like you say, Matt, the way that everybody else would react in that situation.
Yeah. And I think they do a good job of also making him feel like a scientist. Like, when he's working in the factory, trying to figure out a cure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, actually, I'll say I prefer Ed Norton's way of portraying it, just that element, because I find Mark Ruffalo kind of just mentions his, like, degrees and stuff offhand, whereas I think you really believe that Ed... is a proper scientist in this.
I don't know, actually. I think...
Yeah, and I think maybe Mark's... Maybe, yeah, I need to watch him back again.
No, because when you've got, like, Mark Ruffalo and Robert Downey Jr. interacting with each other, and it's like watching an episode of Big Bang Theory where you do not get these geeky jokes, you know? It's a bit like that. So, you know, I think Mark Ruffalo does bring the nerd.
Yeah. to maybe, he brings the nerd, but Ed brings the... Yeah.
Oh, I get what you mean.
Just more serious, like we've all said. He's just more serious, isn't he?
Yeah, Ed Norton feels like a scientist that's like,
seriously.
This is my job.
Yeah.
Whereas Mark Ruffalo feels like, oh, I'm the nerdy science dude.
Yeah, he's all excited. It's like, oh, what's going on here? I've got science stuff to do.
Yeah, but I agree with you, Matt. I think Ed Norton in general does a great job in this movie because he's a fantastic actor. Of course he's going to do a great job. And he had his own vision of the Hulk and what he wanted it to be. And I think he... You know, he does that. He got across what he wanted to get across. Just maybe his idea of Bruce Banner and the Hulk isn't the same idea as most of us.
Yeah.
That's just me. I don't know.
I think if like Universal kept it and kept going with it, they would have liked to do this dark story of the Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see where they went with it, I guess, yeah. But, you know, it is what it is, and...
Ed is no more.
Ed Norton is gone. There's no Ed. So, sort of moving on, go through some of the other characters in this. Betty Ross, played by Liv Tyler. What do we think of her in this?
I like Liv Tyler. I think she does a good job with what she's given.
Yeah.
But she's not really given a lot to work with.
No. She gets like a little glowing moment where she's in the taxi going across town, and she gets a couple of funny moments there, but really she's just a big doe-eyed, dopey woman, isn't she?
Well, which is what's annoying, because you see flashes of like her being a bit comedic, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, like Pepper's really feisty in Iron Man, hoping her that she'd be like that too, but she wasn't.
Or dare I say, you see flashes of her getting an actual character,
yeah,
and think, ooh, this could be good, and then you never really get that. Never really get the payoff.
Yeah, and then she's a damsel in distress again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and she just, which I will say is fine to a point, because my favourite scenes in this movie is whenever Hulk's trying to save Betty. You know, when he's being pushed back in the scene. In the college campus on the field, and it's literally in the background now as I'm watching it, and he's being pushed back by the weird sonic wave things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like he just sees Betty being pushed around by those guards or whatever, and he gets the extra power, you know. There's so many scenes like that. In this movie is my favourite Hulk transformation scene in this movie, and that's the same scene on the college campus. Is it college campus? And he's, running through the library, and he's, you know, he's under a lot of stress, but it's still not enough to flick him to the Hulk, you know. He's in that corridor thing over the field. He gets the tear gas blown in there. Still not enough to turn him. The second he sees Betty get tackled to the floor, that's it. The hand goes up onto the window. Mm-hmm. It starts going big and green, and yeah. I really like that.
Yeah, you see the eyes go, and it's like, we're in for some shit now.
Yeah, and
it's kind of like animalistic, isn't it? Because it's an instinct thing. It's not like he's really logically thinking about stuff. Otherwise, he would have kept calm. It's literally like, whoa, my woman over there.
Yeah, and that works. That really works for me in this movie. So, yeah, she's a bit of a typical damsel in distress, mm-hmm. and Liv Tyler does the big gooey eyes. Yeah. Well, she does the like she looks in trouble all the time.
Yeah.
She looks upset all the time, and that definitely works in this movie, but it then also kind of makes her one dimensional.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to see her in her own movie, you know what I mean?
No, or either seen in any of the other Avengers movies. Just sort of like they just like they have done, they've just completely got rid of her. She's not even mentioned anymore.
No, she's like never a thing now, you know. Yeah, I think she's fine.
Yeah,
you know, she does the job. And I think Liv Tyler's, you know, a good actress. She plays her role well in this.
Yeah, I would have just liked to see her do more. Like, whether they could have given more scenes between her and Ed Norton, just interacting.
Yeah, what did you think of their chemistry? Yeah, what did you think of their chemistry, Ed Norton and Liv Tyler in this?
It was okay. There's certainly a foundation there, but like I said, it's never really given much for us to believe it.
Yeah.
So get the flashback scene at the beginning, and then whenever we see him afterwards, it's just sort of like, are you going to Hulk out? No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because with most films where there's like a love interest, then they do kind of build it up a bit so that you invest in that relationship and you want them to be together and you really fight for them. In this, it just doesn't get mentioned. You just are kind of expected to know that they're a really big deal, but they don't really tell you.
Well, yeah, there's, one of the scenes that really, really bugs me in this movie is when they meet again for the first time and they go running across...
Oh, the bridge.
They run across that bridge or whatever, and it's chucking it down with rain. And they give each other a big old hug, and it's like, oh, they're back together again. Oh. And it's like, that's not been earned. Like you guys said, all we've seen is a few flashbacks.
Yeah.
Why are we meant to care
yeah.
that they've come back together and are happy, because we've not been given any reason to care.
Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, I thought that was one scene that was crying out for a bit of humour, yeah, or a bit of comic relief.
She like slaps him or something.
Yeah, that would have been brilliant if he was like, Betty, it's been so long, and slap.
Yeah.
What have you been?
Yeah. He's not giving a fuck that he might turn into Hulk just full on because she wanted to slap Banner. Just slap him. It's like, yeah, fuck have you been?
And the thing is, there's so many moments in this movie where you think, I could do with a little bit of comedy relief. But because when they do the comedy stuff, it does work. I mean, you've got that scene, haven't you, where he's speaking Portuguese.
Yeah.
And he's trying to say, you won't like me when I'm angry. Yeah. You won't like me when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. And like,
it is. Touched early. That was a great little play on that iconic line. Everyone laughed at it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And Jay touched on it earlier with when Betty Ross does the taxi scene, and she, you know, there's just a, you just kind of wish there was a bit more of it.
When she was getting angry and he was like, oh, I've got some like calming down techniques or something.
Yeah. I can help you with your anger management if you need it.
Yeah, that's it. But they just don't do that enough. They really could have put it in loads of different scenes and they just don't.
Yeah, for like, what is this? Pretty seriously intense movie, it's thrown out for much more comedy.
Definitely, yeah. And it would feel more like an Avengers movie than all a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I said it in the Iron Man podcast that it sets the tone so well. Just the opening 5 minutes of that movie sets the tone for what the MCU feels like. And you don't really get that at all in Hulk. Well, you do, you get it to a point, but it doesn't feel like the rest, does it? You can tell that this wasn't completely in Marvel Studios' hands.
Yeah, absolutely. They've sort of tinkered with it. They've sort of gone, we're putting like little bits, like the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo, getting Robert Downey Jr. back at the end.
Which I think we figured out is the first time you actually see that logo, isn't it?
Yeah, we figured out last time, that's the first time you see that logo.
Yeah, and that's a great thing, because people, you know, some people will say this doesn't belong on this list of MCU movies. Some people will just skip this movie because essentially the first thing you see when you put it on is Universal, you know. It's essentially still their movie. It's just Marvel Studios helped, I guess.
After this, were there any other Universal movies?
No. Really? No, that's why you've not got a Hulk standalone
and
since.
That's probably why I don't like it. It just does not feel like the other films.
Yes, because they've not got complete control there. Whereas with the Spider-Man deal with Sony, I think I'm right in saying it's a Marvel Spider-Man Homecoming is a Marvel Studios movie with Sony basically just looking over it and being like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
You've made a fantastic movie. Cheers for that.
Yeah.
We'll get some money.
We've been trying for ages to do this. You do it in, what, 6 months? How the fuck do you manage that?
Yeah, whereas I get the feeling with this, it was more like almost like a Universal versus Marvel thing. We want to put in this, but we want to put in that. But if you put in that, it'll affect this in the future. Well, we don't care about the future because we're making our movie, not your movie.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously, because of course, Universal want to keep the deal, keep a good, it's the word I'm looking for, relationship with Marvel, because I'm sure every time Hulk appears in these MCU movies, they're getting a nice kickback off it. But at the end of the day, this is their movie. It's not Marvel's movie.
Yeah.
And I think it does feel like that sometimes.
Yeah, you certainly get that sort of difference in whether it's tone or
in tone,
anything.
Yeah.
It's different from any other Marvel movie.
And I'm not really, I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, because a lot of people prefer a darker tone to their superhero movies. I just think it doesn't necessarily fit in that well with the rest of the MCU.
Yeah,
I think if this movie was just a standalone Hulk movie and not connected to the MCU, it'd be seen a lot better than it is. But I think
when you put it in that
bracket of MCU movies, it sort of lowers it down because you're comparing it to all the others.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's a good point, actually. I wonder what I'd rate this movie out of 10. Fuck off. Right. On our end here,
we started this podcast sat on the bed thinking, oh, this would be really comfy now. We've got a decent microphone. We don't have to sit right close to the microphone.
And we're surrounded by all our equipment. We've been cross-legged, and now we're half hour into this thing, and both of us have got like legs hanging over the laptop. We've got like in the most, we're like leaning on each other to try stretching our legs more. We can't move prove anything. We spent so long getting it right.
Yeah,
we don't want to lose this podcast again. You know?
You're like, don't touch it, we might ruin it.
Yeah,
it's like we started recording.
Like crying with tears of like pain, but we're just like, it's fine.
It's like you were talking then, and like both of us just trying to shuffle and get into a comfortable position. Anyway.
Let's segue on to our next topic.
Yeah.
moving on. Right. So
you're so old.
It's okay, this is gonna be a main talking point in every single one of these episodes. In fact, I feel like we should have a name for this segment. Because here comes the villain.
Yeah.
Marvel's dreaded villains that apparently, according to some, they never get right unless his name is Loki.
Mm-hmm.
So right, Abomination. Real name Emil Bongsky, whatever his name is, played by Tim Roth.
Yeah.
Matt, what do we think of this?
Again, I initially liked him. He's got like that recurring theme of Marvel villains where not so much bad, just forgettable. They play a second part to the hero, and their story's just left in the back, which Loki's isn't. That's why he stands out.
Yeah. Yeah, whereas, I think you're right.
But I think what Tim Roth did, he was good. I enjoyed him. I liked him more as Emil Blonsky than I did the Abomination.
Same.
Same here, yeah. I like crack addict Emil.
Yeah, I was about to say, he does a good job of showing how to become a crack addict.
Yeah.
Yeah, just on Super Soldier Serum, basically. Which I also, just very quickly, I love the little shout out to this Super Soldier program. Mm. A little Captain America nod in there, which is what I like. I like when this movie does the typical MCU nods, and you know that was Kevin Feige saying to Universal Studios, put that in there.
Yeah.
Put in the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo, mention the Super Soldier Serum.
The only thing that gets me, it's a bit off topic though, is that I would have loved to hear the Super Soldier program mentioned in Wolverine Origins. Well, I know they never could, but it just would have been a nice little touch.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Pretty much everything, like every superhero that's come after Captain America, it's been because they're trying to recreate Captain America.
Yeah. He is the first Avenger, isn't he?
Yeah. They got it right the first time, and they've not managed it since.
So yeah, in general, we like Emil Blonsky, but not so much Abomination. Is that fair?
I'd say that's a fair assessment. Yeah.
Yeah, I've written down Abomination is a stringy bogey.
He really is.
He just doesn't look scary. He just looks like a blob, like an angry blob.
Yeah,
an angry bogey.
He looks like what the Hulk would look like if he was on crack.
Or he looks like what the Hulk produces when he's at a sneeze.
They definitely fall back into that same trap as Iron Man, where it's like, oh, the villain is just a bigger, badder version of the hero.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily work every time. It can work once, twice, but like when you're getting it every time, you see, as at the time when I watched this first time, you didn't really notice. I was just like really enjoying a very cool fight scene between Hulk and Abomination. But watching it back now, you're like, oh god, that's so like the stereotypical thing to do now.
Yeah.
Which is
back then it probably wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not really the movie's fault.
It's become a cliche.
And this movie plays up to that. And that, I mean, that final battle, it was, I remember really liking it when I saw it. Hasn't aged well, has it?
No, you watch back and the main question you're thinking is, why are they fighting? Why do you hate each other? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Do not get me started, right? I think the thing is, again, I never really noticed the first time I watched it. I think it didn't even really pick up until the second time I watched it. But watching it back the other day, why on earth is he going down and fighting Abomination? What's in it for him?
No, and he doesn't even know he's cured. Like, he's not cured. He's thinking he might be cured at this point.
Exactly. He's like, oh.
That's when he jumps out of the plane.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just like, oh, but you might not turn. And he's like, well, I'll try anyway.
I quote, it's, Betty, I've got to try. Why? Why do you have to try?
Why do you suddenly side with the bad guys?
Yeah. Why, like, you,
or the guys that tried to kill you.
Like. They've made it very clear that Betty is the most important thing in his life.
Yeah.
So she's safe. You're with her.
Just go.
You've not really shown a care about saving the world or being the stereotypical super. Why all of a sudden, just because there's a big scary bad guy running across the streets, are you willing to essentially risk killing yourself? Because as far as he's concerned at this point in the movie, he's been cured. Yeah. Why is he like, right, I'm just going to jump out of this plane and see if I turn into the Hulk to fight this guy who I've not really got that much beef with to save a world that I've not really shown any interest in caring about. So, laters. And the only person he's really... he's helping the public, of course. But he's also massively helping General Thunderbolt Ross, who has been nothing but a dick to him through this whole movie.
And it's not like it's even Betty sort of saying... oh, please do this just for me. Like, she's actually like, no, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
We're on a helicopter. We're on our way out of here. Let's just go.
That bit made no sense. Maybe we're missing something. I don't know. Again, if anyone listening has got a good reason as to why he's doing that, let us know. I want to be proved wrong, because the thing is, with these movies, I genuinely want to love all of them. And, you know, for the most part, like, I think they do in all of these movies, spoiler alert, I think they do way more good than they do wrong. But something like that, I just can't get my head around as to why they went that route. But yeah, maybe it's something I missed, you know, prove me wrong.
Going back quickly to Tim Roth, I think I said it the same about Jeff Bridges in Iron Man. Both really big, really cool actors, but a bit wasted in those roles, because I feel it could have been anyone. And I think Tim Roth has just got a great voice. He's really charismatic in lots of his other films. And this character is just a bit flat. And, yeah, I just think it could have been anyone. And it's just a big wasted actor on this role.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, the thing is, though, it's like, if you can get him, take him. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because, like, that character could have been a lot less interesting with a worse actor. Because he's so good that you kind of have to appreciate that at least you've got him for that role, no matter how poorly written that role might be. Well, it's not poorly written, it's just like the Abomination thing's just not a really satisfying end.
Yeah, just underutilised.
But it's a superhero movie. I mean, I think we probably actually would have been more upset if it just ended in a heated debate. You've got to have...
Well, they're both cured. Goodbye.
It's the Hulk. You're expecting it to end in a huge, massive battle.
Yeah.
But yeah. I just really like there have been some stakes to it, some reasoning, because going into that battle, I'm not expecting the Hulk to lose. We know we're getting Avengers, we know he's coming back.
And like I said, go on.
I was thinking, why is he fighting, and why is the other guy fighting? He's going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, at the time, I did genuinely really enjoy the fight, but I don't know, maybe it's just not aged well, because, I mean, I've seen better boss fights on my PS4, I think. You know, I don't know. He just didn't... I think it was just too much CG. You know, it was too much CGI. It was just a bit over the top.
Yeah. And as well, you sort of touched on it about the villains being, like, just a bigger version of the
characters. Yeah, and the bigger, badder version of the hero.
Similarly, I think Ed Norton and Tim Roth look really similar, so I thought it was a really bizarre casting, really, because you still want to think that you want to, like, look at them and think, okay, one's a good guy and one's the bad guy, but I think they have really similar faces, which I think
features.
Yeah, I just thought that was a bit bizarre.
Neither of them are really huge blokes, are they? They're both a bit
skinny. They're both quite weedy white guys. Like, I just thought it could have been something. There could have been something else.
Which I kind of see what they were going for there, with like, oh, let's make these really skinny normal guys into big hulking beasts. But, you know, again, retrospectively, Captain America does it a lot better. So going back and watching this, that don't seem a big impressive thing now, because the way they do it with Captain America the First Avengers is so much better.
And I think, coming from a person that's watched this for the first time, if you didn't know Ed Norton or Tim Roth as actors as well, I think you would get a bit lost in this. You're like, okay, you get the characters, but they're not different looking enough for just it being a standalone film, not anything to do with the Avengers or the actors themselves. I just think it's a bit of a weird casting
choice. Yeah, I see what you're saying. So, Abomination, I think we're all a bit 50-50 on. Very quickly, before we just move on to what we generally, in general, liked and didn't like. General Thunderbolt Ross, played by William Hurt, who, of course, is the only actor in this movie, I think I'm right in saying, that will later appear in the MCU.
Yeah.
Unless you count Robert Downey Jr. at the end.
He's just a little cameo, just to keep moving.
Yeah. He's the only main character that will appear later on, of course, appears in Civil War. So, what do we think of him in this movie?
I liked him. I think they kept the faithful adaptation of Thunderbolt Ross. I sort of believe why he's like hating the Hulk so much, but
Well, it's because at the end he's very driven, isn't he, by his work.
Yeah,
and his work is on the run in Brazil.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, because he's like, I own the Hulk. I funded you for this experiment. I gave you all the equipment. I gave you all the support, and now you just pissed off and left me.
Yeah.
Do you think Thunderbolt Ross is actually a better villain than Abomination in this?
I think so, yeah. I think so. There's a believability to it. I think
I agree.
There's a heartlessness to him. So with everything going on with his daughter, he's more concerned about the Hulk than he is his daughter.
He's cold, isn't he?
He is. You sort of get a feeling he's a bit upset, but he's willing to sacrifice her if it means he gets a Hulk.
Yeah, and there's something quite dark about that, isn't there? He's a great character. But I think as well, you get why he's doing what he's doing, you know, and that's the problem with villains sometimes. You don't really understand their motives. And you get Thunderbolt Ross, you know what I mean? He's, like we said, he's work-driven, he's, like, you know, I've put a lot of effort and money into this, and you're just, you know, pissing off with it. But I will say, even with Abomination's character, you know, he seems to have his motivations. You know, he's an aging soldier that doesn't want to give it up. So if he can, you know, stick this needle in his arm, which gives him powers to be younger and stronger than he ever was, then, like, you know, he's got that line, hasn't he, where he's like, oh, what? I dread to think what I would have been if I could have been my mind in a younger body, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what he wants. But it's just annoying that they kind of just breeze over that, and all you ever see is him then, you know, jacking himself up, and, you know, you don't really get any sort of dialogue with him. Really,
I would like to see more of, like, the reasons with Blonsky, of, like, why he first started doing it, and how that habit just took him over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, and going back to Thunderbolt Ross, I think he's really cool in this movie. I like him. Whenever I think back to this movie, I always remember the Abomination fight at the end, but I always think as General Thunderbolt Ross as sort of the main baddie in this.
Yeah, he's the one who causes all the conflict. He's the one driving the story forward, moving it along. He's my favourite part of the movie, really.
Oh, wow. your favourite person in the movie, or just your favourite part of the movie, full stop?
Probably favourite part.
Wow. For me, my favourite part of the movie is that that action scene in the college campus, like we touched on earlier. Just from as soon as the military get there and start chasing him, right to the end of it, where they run away in the rain. I think, like, I can't say a bad thing about that scene. Even, like, it mixes CG with, like, live action really well, and it just comes across really nice.
Yeah,
it still stands up now. I mean, there's a few bits in it where you're like, yeah, you can see how obviously CG that is, but in general, I watch that scene today and absolutely love it, and still stands up against most other action scenes in later on in the MCU. I just love it. Like, you even got a slight comedic element where he's, is that all you got? And he boots him against the tree. And,
yeah.
And then, like, the way you've got the visuals of when it starts to rain and he's coming out of the fire holding Betty. It's a bit cheesy, but it just works. Yeah, that's my favourite part of the movie, easily. Which kind of brings me on to what we liked and what we didn't like. So that's definitely what I liked. A few other bits that I liked.
I liked Stern's character. He didn't get a lot of, obviously, screen time, but I did like him.
Yeah, he had a bit part role. He was just sort of helped try to cure the Hulk, but they set up something with Stern. They set up him becoming the leader.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, I mentioned before, I'll go back into it.
Tell us about the leader for anyone who doesn't know. Including me, I don't really know much about the character he was meant to be.
Basically, he starts off as this scientist, And as you see in this film, I'm not sure whether this is true origin, but like he gets a bit of Banner's blood drop into one of his cuts on his head.
That's a cool scene that we don't get a payoff for.
Yeah. And essentially, you see his head mutating, and he gets this gamma brain. He essentially becomes like all green, like the Hulk, except he's still skinny, except he's got this massive head. It looks weird as anything. how they put it on screen, I don't know. But he's just this great foil for the Hulk of this super genius.
It turns out neither did they know, because they didn't bother.
No, we can't do this.
But yeah, he's this super genius intent on either taking the Hulk down or using the Hulk's power. It's just this constant like power play of what's better, brains or brawn.
Yeah.
It just plays well together.
Other things I'll quickly brush over that I really liked. I liked at the beginning Brazil being a location. I thought that was really cool. You know, it's a great use of colours and just a different environment for us to sort of play around with in the MCU. Because so many times it's always either Manhattan or
Florida.
Age of Ultron, what's the name of that bloody island? Not island, it becomes an island when it gets lifted up.
Sokovia.
Yeah, like, you know, nothing wrong with these locations, but I think Brazil's just something way different that you won't get in another MCU
movie.
They're
all quite bland, aren't they, in general?
Yeah.
It's really bright and...
Yeah, it's really cool. So I like the use of him hiding out in Brazil. I thought it looked really cool. I think William Hurt does a great job as General Ross. You know, we said how cool that character is, and I think a lot of that is down to William Hurt in that. You know, like I said, I've already touched on all the little the nods to MCU related stuff, like, you know, the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo being used, the mention of Captain America. Of course, we get a pretty cool cameo in this. We don't just get Stan Lee, we get Lou Ferrigno. I got that right.
You got that right.
I didn't just butcher his name. Like, yeah, Matt will know the amount of times I try to say that name. Faringo.
Yeah.
Farigno.
Like, yeah. If you had it, I mentioned it. You could have got away with it. You got it right first time this time.
I know. I got second time. That's the real reason we're recording this for a second time, because I didn't want to look like a fool.
Yeah. That's why we just spent an hour of you figuring out how to say Farigno.
Yeah, but of course he played the original Hulk in the TV series, and I thought that was really cool to give him a little...
I think he still voices the Hulk in this.
Does he? I legit didn't know that, seriously.
Yeah, when he says, like, obviously, two words, Hulk smash and Betty.
Yeah.
Which I want to quickly say, I really like that they're the only two words he says, that they don't give him a vocabulary, and they just sort of, that's it, you can do the typical Hulk smash and show that, even as Hulk, he cares for Betty. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and showing that's only control he's got over this character is Betty.
Yeah, and the kind of the other way, when he's Bruce Banner, he just gets the flashbacks. That's the only glimpse into Hulk he gets, really. And vice versa. When he's Hulk, it's just Betty that he gets glimpses of. He's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to quickly go back as well. I know I keep saying about it, but that scene in the college campus. So that's the first time you actually see the Hulk in this movie in the daylight, don't you? Because before that, the first time we see Hulk is in the shadows, and they very much keep him hidden in that scene in Brazil where they're chasing him down and he transforms. And I like that they kept him hidden, and you sort of just saw things flying out of the shadows or people being dragged into shadows. And I thought, you know, they didn't show too much too soon.
Yeah, they didn't blow their load early.
They didn't. there was nothing premature about Hulk in this movie. So yeah, I enjoyed that.
Some of the other little nods, like Betty holding up the purple trousers.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Again, those little comedy spots work so well. And you just know that was Kevin Feige overseeing things. But I put this in, put that in. You know, you just... I'm speculating, but... we said about sort of the relationship between Liv Tyler and Ed Norton. I'm not sure how well it works, to be honest.
You said you prefer the chemistry between...
That's what I was just about to get to. That's one thing I love about this movie, that the chemistry between Liv Tyler and the big CGI green beans work better than the chemistry between Liv Tyler and Ed Norton.
That's really cool. That's probably my favourite bit.
I love the cave scene, and she's basically working with
a ball
herself. I think that works really well. I mean, I definitely enjoyed more than I didn't in this.
I think we're going in a really wrong order, actually, because we forgot to bring up the women's story bit.
Oh, again, because we're re-recording this, yeah. we had such a, sort of a rough running order of how we were going to do this, sort of talk the movie through, and now it's just become, Hulk, let's talk.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and how in Iron Man the origin story was part of the movie, so it was right at the beginning, but it was still part of the movie, so you were kind of like invested, you were watching it and taking it all in. This one, Hulk's origin story, or rather Bruce Banner's origin story, kind of is done in the credits, and maybe it's just a personal thing for me, I don't focus enough on the credits to be taking it all in as much as I should have been. So I think it kind of gets a bit lost, like maybe a couple of seconds in, I was kind of like, am I supposed to be watching this really, like, intently? Because I've completely missed his origin story now. Whereas with Iron Man, you kind of, it built up to it, and then I was watching it, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, let's get into it.
I just want to very quickly, because talking about things we did, like, last thing, I just want to say, because we gave a bit of grief to the final scene with the CGI-ness. You know what? You can sort of get away with that if you're going to use cars for fists.
Yeah.
Because that was super cool.
I don't know how they're going to do that without CGI, to be honest. So.
Yeah, exactly. So you can sort of say, oh, God, this is a bit overdone. It feels like a game. And then he breaks a car in two and puts them on his fists. And like, here we go. Yeah, all right. I'm in.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's bad CG. It's not aged amazing, but for the time, it is good. I remember watching those scenes thinking, this is so fucking cool.
Yeah, and I really like the we've touched on it briefly already, but the end credits. It's not even an end credit scene. Yeah, it's just the last scene of the movie where we get our Robert Downey Jr. Cameo, and in comes Tony Stark to talk to Thunderbolt Ross about the Avengers, which kind of contradicts some of the stuff we're going to see in Iron Man 2, with him not really being a team player. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, well, I mentioned it like obviously in the other podcast. That's got
scrap. The one that nobody will ever hear.
Yeah. But obviously that all comes about through like a Marvel one-shot, which...
Oh, of course, yes, go on, tell us about that.
Like, people who don't know what Marvel one-shots are, they're like, just like an extended scene, not anything to do with the movie, but like extended scenes that go on Blu-rays and just set up a bigger universe. And what they did for this movie, they had Coulson talking to another S.H.I.E.L.D. agent about getting Thunderbolt Ross and recruiting the Hulk, but neither of them wanted to speak to Thunderbolt Ross because he's a bit of an asshole. So they're sort of like, well, who can we go talk to him? Who's going to convince him, but also annoy him at the same time to convince him? And they keep talking, and it just cuts to the scene with Robert Downey Jr. walking in, and it's just hysterical.
Yeah, I love that scene.
That's really cool. I think we will do cover the one-shots as we go. I just don't think we've come across any yet, because I don't think there's one on the Iron Man Blu-ray. I wouldn't have thought being the first one.
No.
And with The Incredible Hulk being Universal, I'm pretty sure there's not one on that. If we haven't missed one, please somebody let us know, because we do want to cover the one-shots where we can. Obviously, they'll be a bit out of order and stuff, but you know, that's not a problem. So, anything else we like before we quickly go into stuff we didn't like?
On what Jade said, like, she obviously didn't like the flashbacks at the beginning. Personally, I did, but that's obviously coming from a place of knowing the character, knowing its foundations and history.
Yeah, I think it appeals
history
to a comic book fan, doesn't it?
That, I like that they just brushed it over, but obviously, if you don't know the character, this is your first introduction, you're going to be lost going in.
Yeah.
Okay, so going on to some things we didn't like, I'll quickly run through a couple of stuff I got jotted down. We said about dodgy CGI in the boss fight, but I also think there's some dodgy CGI throughout this movie. I mean, there's the bit where he spills his blood into the bottle. Mm. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
that has not held up well. That does not. And it should be something so simple.
It is just a drop. You could have tested that 100 times with just a bit of water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think there's really that much else. Because I think we've touched on a lot of things I didn't like. Mm. You know, I mean, I think Ed Norton sometimes seems a little bit too cool to be Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Did anyone else feel that? Especially.
Yeah.
He's almost too famous.
Well, we're going on about the Mark Ruffalo thing. So Mark Ruffalo feels like a nerd. Ed Norton doesn't.
Yeah, it feels like one of us, doesn't it, in a way?
Yeah. Whereas Ed Norton nails the science part, you never get the feeling that he's a nerd, though, isn't he?
Yeah. Like, you kind of want to be like you say, mates with Mark Ruffalo, but you don't want to be with Ed Norton. You'd be like, oh, okay, he's in the corner.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go out for a drink with Ed Norton.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And I want to point out that I think this is our only MCU movie that doesn't have an end credit scene.
No, it doesn't.
The only one.
I feel like the Robert Downey Jr. scene was meant to be end credits, but probably because of Universal Marvel still not quite sure what they're doing.
Yeah.
It sort of just got tacked on it, like, as a final scene.
Yeah.
I think it would have worked a lot better if the final scene we see is where you've got Ed Norton meditating and his eyes glow and he's got control of it.
And then that'll be it, and then that shuts down.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not really an end credit scene, but on the Blu-ray there's an alternative opening. I've touched this in the other podcast. Keep saying that, but sorry. Where he he's in the Alps or something. He's somewhere cold, you know. And the he's trying to think probably before he gets to Brazil. I would have thought, and he transforms into the Hulk. I don't really explain why. Mm-hmm. Smashes open the ice. And like, or just like, you know, cracks his fist down, it like smashes open this river of ice, and that's it. That's basically the alternative opening. But I was shown that if you kind of keep pausing and pausing, you get to actually see a figure with Captain America's shield in the ice, which I think is pretty cool. Just as a little, I mean, it's not an after credit scene or anything like that, but that's a pretty cool nod to have on.
It's just a nice deleted scene.
Yeah,
it's just a nice little Easter egg for fans. And if you read the comics, you know that's how they ended up.
Nods to the origin, yeah. It's nice to reflect, you know, the source material so well. Even if it is just an alternate open deleted scene thing, it's just still quite cool to have in there.
Yeah.
So anything else we did not like?
There's nothing major I can think of that lets this move.
It's mostly nitpicking, isn't it really?
But to me, all those nitpicking actually builds up to just overall a not very enjoyable movie for me. I know it's different for you guys. But I just didn't enjoy it anywhere near as much as I did Iron Man. And now knowing the Avengers films that I love, it's just, yeah, falls really flat for me.
Well, yeah, we spent this pretty much entire podcast just nitpicking. And it's lots of little bugs we've got with this movie. Nothing major, but enough to make you go, it's not that great.
Yeah.
Which is strange when I say, like, the first time I saw this, I was like, oh, amazing, 9 out of 10.
I think you were, like, coming off the hype of just seeing Iron Man.
We didn't have many comic book movies at that time.
Not like we do now.
Yeah.
But like I say, I think if this came out first, I think you'd probably like it more, because it's the first, like, if it came out as the first Marvel film, like, in this sort of reboot, I think you'd be like, oh, yeah, this was really cool, this was, like, how it all started, da-da-da, whereas it kind of, like, had to follow in Iron Man's massive footsteps, so...
Yeah.
I think, for me, it was just like, whereas if it was first, I'd have been like, oh, this was cool, and then, oh, my God, this was Iron Man, so...
But I think you need to put a marker down with a big movie, you know? I think they definitely did that with Iron Man.
Yeah. But they would have known that going in. Like, if they had chosen to do the Hulk first, what would they have done for an end credit scene instead?
Yeah.
Like, good shout.
No, Tony is just this random guy walking into a bar.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would ever swap him.
No. Nah.
Okay, I thought it was a 9 out of 10 first time I saw it. Matt, you thought it was a...
7.5 out of 10.
7.5 out of 10 first time you saw it. Right, we'll start with you, Matt.
I'd now give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Oh, he's dropped an entire number.
Yeah.
He's dropped a digit. One whole digit, 6.5. We should also want to point out that your rating for Iron Man, retrospectively, was a 9 out of 10. So you currently sit as things stand, Iron Man first, Incredible Hulk second.
By some distance, yeah.
Matt's like, spoiler alert, some movies will fall in between these.
There's a bit of a gap. I've given some leeway.
Fair enough. Okay, Jade, your first and last impressions all in one.
Yeah, so obviously watching it, I've only seen it the once now. I'm going to be a bit mean, I think, and it's a 5 out of 10 for me, because I just generally didn't enjoy the film. Like, again, regardless of it being Marvel franchise, I didn't like the film.
I think it's fair to say with you, you would never have an interest in watching this movie again, would
definitely
you really?
Not, no.
Yeah, well, I would
watch
still
watch Iron Man a million times over, whereas I wouldn't watch this again. Now I've seen it, I just felt like, yeah, it's not part of the, it didn't feel like it's part of the...
Like we said earlier, we're watching this in the background. I'm currently on the scene where he's using
the car
for fists. Yeah. I'm hearing Jay say 5 out of 10 while he's beating the crap out of Abomination with
guns. Like,
I'm like, no, no.
I could pick 9 out of 10 parts of this film, but just overall it's really lacking for me, so I couldn't give it more.
Fair enough. And of course...
from someone that's never seen it, doesn't follow the comics, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why we've got your perspective on
that. And maybe in 10 years' time, I might rate it higher, because now you're rating it in 10 years from since you
started. Hey, maybe 10 years' time you might rate it lower.
Probably. Yeah.
See, CGI looks even more ruthy.
Yeah, in 10 years' time, there's going to be another 30 Marvel movies for us to watch.
Probably another, like,
10
Hulk reboots as well.
That's very true. So, and of course, you, JD, rated, can I mention, criminally rated Iron Man at 7 out of 10.
I do, and I don't regret that, because obviously, again, it was the first time I'd ever seen it. I think it's a brilliant film. Like, Iron Man's an amazing character. I just didn't know the levels, really. Like, I knew I love Avengers, so I know that I'm going to be rating that a lot higher. But for this
spoiler.
One, I would maybe, if I could change it, I'd done this one at maybe a 6 or a 7, and then Iron Man at an 8 or a 9, but I can't go back on it now, so I've got 6.
Yeah, strict rules. You've got, like, rate most of these movies quite low now.
Yeah.
if you want to keep Iron Man up there, you've got to be really strict later on.
It's going to get to, like, Avengers. That's 7.5.
Yeah.
Okay, so with Iron Man at a 7 out of 10 for you, and Hulk at a 5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
You're the same as Matt. Iron Man first, Hulk second. Yeah, it's a hat trick all round. For me, first time I saw it, it was a 9 out of 10, which doesn't even match what I finished my end rating for Iron Man was, which was a 9.3. So, it hasn't gone up. I'm the same as you, Matt. For me, Incredible Hulk's gone down. Exactly the same as you, Matt, an entire digit. For me, it's gone down from a 9 out of 10 to an 8 out of 10, which is still...
It's
really,
still
really good.
Quite high, yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm sticking to my guns here. I still think this is, like I say, there's way more good that comes out of this movie than bad. And you guys have touched on it about it. If it was a standalone movie and it wasn't part of the MCU,
mm-hmm.
would we rate it higher? And I can't help but give it credit for that, because it does more things well than it does bad. And I could watch this movie again. I will watch this movie again. I really enjoy it. Yeah. But like I said, rated Iron Man a 9.3, so like you guys said, there's a bit of a gap, and it's second for me as things stand. So there we go. So that's us pretty much done for a week again.
Yeah.
I hope this recorded.
Got a few days now. If we're late this time.
Yeah. If you're hearing this, then you know things have gone very well. And if you're not hearing this, then just know we're probably dying inside.
Yeah. If not, we'll probably see you for the Iron Man 2 podcast.
So, yes, as Matt just said, next week we will be doing Iron Man 2. Doing Iron Man? We should be still lucky. I think Iron Man 2 I'm really looking forward to this one, because it is a bit of a, another controversial one, a bit like Hulk. I'm actually, after rewatching Iron Man 1, I'm really looking forward to watching Iron Man 2 again, and just sort of seeing if my views have changed, and same with you guys. So, as I've said before, I am absolutely terrible with the social medias, so I'll let one of you guys take that bit away. Go on, Matt,
Right, our Twitter handle, for anyone who wants to follow us on Twitter, we're at NerdingOut2. Feel free to tweet us any questions, comments. If you tweet us questions, we'll answer them on the podcast next week. So feel free to tweet us. We're also available on Facebook. It's also Nerding Out 2, the podcast. And yeah, again, comment, like, follow us. And yeah, just let us know what you think of the movie.
And Robert Downey Jr. has advised you to do exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, we even started before he suggested it, so...
Exactly. So
he said start in January, and we're way ahead.
For all his millions of followers that saw Robert Downey Jr. say about tweet about watching all these movies before Infinity War. We come up with it. Well, I suppose lots of people have come up with rewatching it. Every single person come up.
He listened to the podcast. He gave everyone else the idea. That's it.
Yeah.
Definitely. So he's one of our listeners.
So if you're going to take anything away from this, if you want to be cool like Robert Downey Jr., listen to the podcast. Right. So yeah. I think, Jade, you've got set up on Instagram as well now, haven't you?
Yeah, same handle, nerding out too.
Cool. Right, that's pretty much it. Well, that is it.
Yep.
So, bye!
Thanks for listening. Bye!
Hulk! Smash!
We're not quite over. This is like an after credit scene on a Marvel movie. We're coming back right at the end. I just wanted to say to people that yeah, we are going to try get another podcast out for
about a week.
We like to get it out early in the week. I know we were late with this one because we had to re-record it, but just be prepared, we probably will be late again because of course it's Christmas time.
Yeah.
And we all do have families, even though it's the same family. We all have the same family.
But we also have jobs.
Yeah. We're all working over Christmas. Well, actually, Jade's not, but she's probably getting drunk
first
over
year
Christmas.
For ages I get Christmas.
So, just keep in mind that with it being Christmas, we're probably going to be a little bit later. But then after that, we'll definitely be beginning of the week, hopefully, every time. But, you know, that's a good reason to subscribe.
Yep.
And you'll get notified when we do release a podcast. So, right, bye again.
Bye.